What's going on, my beautiful people? We are here another great day inside the Black Actors Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce, and joining me today is an incredibly special guest. She is, you've seen her recently in Star as Dior. And so please stay tuned because we got a lot of great stuff coming.
Tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey. What's going on, guys? Another Thursday. You know what that means. Inside the Black Actors Studio. Our guest today is making a name for herself in the South, but soon to be LA as well. You've seen her in Stealth and LA's Finest, starring Jessica Alba and Gabrielle Union. The Black Actors Studio is very proud to welcome Ashton Grooms.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here.
I'm honored.
I just want to start off by saying, like, you were a fan of a show, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked over, you know, Facebook and all that stuff, mm-hmm, and welcomed you out here.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, you know, your story is incredible, and a lot of people can relate to it, and I definitely want to hear it and share it with the people and the viewers. Yeah. So I thank you so much for coming out here.
Thank you for inviting me. I was like,
Texas.
Oh my God, y'all are inviting me. This is real.
But coming from the South, right?
Yeah.
So how's your time been in LA so far?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's always great. I love the hustle of Los Angeles. You know, everybody's dreaming and chasing, mm-hmm, that dream, and we don't have time to be nice. So,
no great. Nice people out here.
Right.
No, I was just kidding. Well, I like to, start off the interview with the beginning. Where are you born?
I was born in Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, 313.
Yeah. See, I can't even do, because I didn't grow up there.
Yeah, yeah.
So a few months after I was born, my mother moved.
Okay.
The family headquarters, my grandmother is one of 14. And so the family headquarters is in Stevens, Arkansas. So after I was born, we moved there for a moment.
Okay.
And then we moved to Virginia. Then we moved to Texas. So I say Texas is home, but I was born in Detroit.
Okay. Texas is so nice. So did you have a good relationship with your parents growing up?
My mother, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't meet my father. Periodically, he was incarcerated.
Okay.
So I met him like when I was like 5, and then once when I was like 7. But
gotcha.
Not officially lived with him until I was 10.
Right.
We didn't have a good relationship, but me and my mom are best friends.
Right.
She's
okay,
everything.
Nice.
She's like the epitome of what a woman is to me.
Really?
So everything
I want to hear this. What is a woman? what about her characteristics wise?
She's
like,
nurturing.
Nice. Okay.
She's gorgeous. She's a great mother, and she's like a queen in my eyes.
Nice.
You know, she was a great wife and all of that. Everything that she does it well.
Nice.
Very well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any nicknames growing up?
Oh God. Are you sure you want it? No.
Yes.
My infamous nickname is Pootie.
Pootie?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Pootie.
Okay. How did that come about?
Do we have to ask that question, Danny?
Yes.
I was a gassy baby. A gassy baby. And so,
Yeah. Okay, that Pootie. Okay.
There you go.
I didn't know if it was like a cute little Pootie Tootie or okay.
It was still,
it.
Okay, wait, it was still cute.
Okay.
It was still cute. No, it was because of that.
Gassy baby. Oh, look at the little baby.
Oh, God. Yes, that's me, little Ashton.
Did you have siblings?
My mom had my first sibling when I was 10.
Mm.
My brother, he's 21 now, Dylan. He wants me to shout him out.
Shout out to Dylan.
And then Carrington is 14 years old. She had her when I was 17.
Mm.
So I didn't get to grow up with them. I more so helped raise them. But
okay.
Yeah. And then I have others on my dad's side. I have a brother and then a set of twins. My dad's side of the family, though, is like a hand of spades. Like, it's like 3 and a possible.
Mm.
So we might have a few more out there. It's not really confirmed.
Right.
But 3 confirmed that I know of on that side.
3 and a possible, right?
Yeah.
So how was school for you in high school? And then when did you get into the drama arts?
Mm. I always loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I was a latchkey kid growing up. And so I would rush home to watch Moesha and watch the Parkers and Blossom, things like that. And I would just dream. I would escape in that. So I always loved it. Unfortunately, I grew up in a religion that didn't really encourage that right. or anything extracurricular. So I didn't really get to delve into it like I wanted to in school. But school overall was good for me. I was that kid that knew everybody. Everyone knew me. Some people, you know, bullied, but for the most part, it was a great, great experience. In high school, I was in one play. Mm-hmm. It was Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes, nice.
I was Puck.
Okay.
Yeah. And I took it very serious with my one line. And that was really it in high school. Wow. And then after high school, I went to acting school. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. When did you, for you, did you have this identity look upon yourself as far as transitioning and things like that? Because I want to definitely highlight this because, you know, a lot of people can relate to it.
Yeah.
Especially now in films and television, mm-hmm. we have a lot more, you know, roles mm-hmm. going out for that, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But still, there's quite a taboo, so go ahead and touch on it.
Well, I think it's a beautiful time, though. I must mm-hmm. say that. Oh, yeah. I think that it's a time that we are redefining our greatness, mm-hmm. and we're doing it unapologetically. And the world is seeing that, and they're giving us the opportunity. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
I knew at a very young age, I was probably about 5, that I was different. Mm-hmm. My mother was my only example. Really.
Yeah.
And so growing up Jehovah's Witness, it was very sheltered. I was in a bubble. So she kind of created my world, you know, around her and her friends right. who are all women. My grandmother, of course, who's a woman. And so that's what I saw. And I wanted to be just like them, you know, from the beginning.
Right, right.
But I would go and put T-shirts on my head to play as if it was hair. Mm-hmm. And one day I got caught. And down in the Uh-oh. Bathroom, and I'm fluffing and I'm getting it. And my mom was like, "What are you doing?" And I got a really good whooping. And that's when I knew something was different.
Gotcha.
Because I thought that I was displaying what was on the inside and that everyone else saw that as well. I didn't
right.
know that it was a problem.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I didn't
for
know
sure.
that it was different at that time, but that's when I was probably 6.
6, okay.
Yeah.
And so how was, growing in high school and things like that?
Well, I didn't come out
no.
okay. until I was out of high school and grown. But I was always the gay kid.
Mm.
I was always the pretty boy. I was every girl's best friend. the guys would come to me if they were trying to get with one of my best friends.
Right,
you
hey,
know? It was like
the gatekeeper.
That. That was me all day. And I look back at myself, and I don't think that I ever classified myself as gay,
mm-hmm.
Especially not in school. Again, like I said, in the religion I was in, that was like a, you know, that's a no-no.
Right.
But everyone kind of sensed it. People sensed me before I sensed me.
Mm,
you know what
gotcha,
I mean? Like, I had that instance where I knew something was wrong with it.
Right.
But I still thought that I was a good actor.
For sure.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that doesn't take anything away from the talent.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, as far as acting every day as if I was a boy.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
Without people picking up on
right,
it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? That's what...
Was it an uncomfortable type of, like, facade that you had to carry?
Oh, definitely.
Every day? Yeah.
Yeah. Getting up in the morning and... you know, or going to the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
You
oh,
know,
yeah, the barbershop.
That was something. Or getting up in the morning and my mom wouldn't let me shave.
Mm.
So I would have a little peach fuzz or something here and there, and I would hate it.
Because
I'm like, I don't want to be this. You know,
right.
I don't want to do this. Or my friends would come to school and they would have the cute LA gears on or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
some cute jelly sandals or something. And I'd be like, I want to do that. And I couldn't do it because, you know,
right.
I was a boy.
Because it wasn't acceptable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you went into acting school.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things you learned about yourself and, you know, about acting in general, the craft, and how did you fall in love with it?
Oh, my God. Acting school was amazing. I went to KD Studios mm-hmm. in Dallas, Texas.
Mm.
I didn't graduate.
Okay.
I dropped out. Don't drop out of school.
And why did you drop out?
So at that time, my dad had a health crisis. Mm. He had a bad stroke. I couldn't afford it anymore.
Gotcha.
And I was 18, so I thought that, you know, partying and doing irresponsible things was better than going to school. But I went there, and it really defined me. For the few semesters that I went, that's where I really started to transition.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd only do it at school.
Mm.
Until one faithful day, my 7-year-old brother was on my laptop,
mm-hmm.
and I had pictures on there. And he helped the coming out process along.
He rushed the process a little bit.
He did that. So I lied to my mom and I told her it was for school. It was a character. Really? She wasn't buying it because, you know, she's the queen. So she's like, yeah, listen, we're going to stop this right now, you know. But, yeah, that was what happened there.
Okay. What were some of, like, the television shows or any films or anything like that you watched growing up that inspired you, made you want to get into it?
Definitely Get Moesha. Mm-hmm. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't a Cosby kid.
Right?
To this day, I get offensive about Bill Cosby. Don't talk too much about him because that's my dad. You know, Blossom. I loved Blossom. I loved anything that Whitney Houston was in. I thought I was going to be Whitney Houston when I grew up. I did.
Right. Then we all know.
I did. And then something happened that told me I couldn't be, you know, Whitney because I don't have that voice or that body or that face or anything. But I wanted to be Whitney. And I loved her, anything that she did. I loved Cinderella. I loved Wedding to Exhale. I loved Bodyguard.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was... With the whole Bill Cosby thing, you know, that came out with Me Too movement and, and as well with Harvey Weinstein and all that, is what was your thoughts about, your initial thoughts on the matter?
At first, I was like, it's not real. Someone's trying to, you know, destroy him. And the legacy that he built for me and brown people that grew up with him, like me. And then I became very rejoiceful. Because the women were finding their voice and they were finding, you know, the strength to come out and to say what had happened allegedly to them. And I think that it's a beautiful space that we're in now in the world that we can come out and say, hey, this is what happened to me.
Right.
You know, we can have that strength and it can be supported a lot more than it was 20, 30 years ago.
For sure.
So, yeah. Okay. But, yeah.
How was it working on LA's Finest?
Amazing.
Yeah, so. I want to know about your experience on set, and then also, what did you do to prepare for the character, and that how the audition went as well.
So, I was living in my car. I had came to LA. You didn't ask me this part, but I had came to LA. Listen, and
Give us the real.
I drove. Oh yeah, I drove from DC. I was about to say Los Angeles. I drove from DC to Los Angeles. Okay. It took me 3 days to get here. I had a 2011 Altima. Every light was on in the cockpit. But miraculously, and this is how amazing I believe God is, when I got to Ohio, I stopped at the AutoZone, and the lady, you know, hooked it up to the diagnostics. She's like, nothing's wrong with it. The sheet was clean. I got back in the car. Every light was off.
Wow.
I said, God, if you get me to L.A., I know this is real.
Wow.
And so 3 days later, I pulled up in Los Angeles. Didn't have an address. Didn't know where I was going. I got there. So what I did was, because I didn't want to fool with janky people, I just slept in my car. You know what I mean? You know how it
is. Yeah, there are plenty.
I slept in my car. I reclined my seat every day. I put my blankets up around so I'd have a little privacy, and I made it work. I got an email from my agent, and she said, there's a co-starring role for a new show that's starring Jessica Alba and Gabrielle Union. I was like, oh. You know, but at that time, I'm still green, so I'm like co-starring. So I'm going to be like on the picture, like I'm the star of the show.
Not quite.
One scene. Well, two scenes, actually. But I went and auditioned for it, and the casting director, she had tears in her eyes after I got through reading. And I was like, I don't know if I booked that. But she saw me.
Right.
And that made a difference for me.
That's awesome.
I went home that day and I just started crying. Well, not home. I went to my parking space. And I'm just crying because all up until that point, I had done, you know, student films. I had done independent films. I'd done plays. Things for free. You know, or little to no money at all. But I loved it so much that it didn't stop me. And then I got that audition. And I was like, I don't care what happens at this point. She saw me. And about maybe a day later, she called. My agent called me and said, guess what? You're booked.
Nice.
I was like, what?
That's awesome.
So we did that. We shot in L.A. And met Gabrielle Union, who said it was absolutely, I killed it. She said I killed it. And she wanted to create more spaces for us, mm-hmm. you know, people that are marginalized or not given the space,
right.
you know. I thanked her for that, Jessica Elba. It was so crazy being on set mm-hmm. with them. You know, yeah. I'm you know, saying my lines and they're standing behind me because they're in the scene. And I'm like, oh my God.
All right.
You know, eyes on me. You know yeah. what I mean? Or we're standing up and they're talking and they're looking at me and I'm like, this is crazy. You know, I know Gabrielle Union from Bring
right.
It On.
Bring It On.
Moesha and everything. She's been on everything. And Jessica Alba is like the most beautiful ever. Right. You know, they're both gorgeous.
Right.
But I'm like, wow, this is my life.
And,
right
and Gabrielle, actually, she was just with her gay son in the,
yes.
In the Pride Parade. So
I loved
really just
that.
Yeah.
I loved that. And then to have the support of not only his stepmother,
yeah.
but his brother
yeah,
and
brother.
His father. Mm-hmm. And in a world where that masculinity in the Black community is very touchy.
Right.
You know, you can't blur
very.
That line.
Mm-hmm.
For them to support him, that's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It was absolutely gorgeous.
Anything that you done like to prepare yourself for the audition exactly?
Well, I've read Meisner about 6 times.
Okay.
I've read The Power of the Actor about 2.
Nice.
And I meditated a lot.
Okay.
You know, I went back to my KD studio days and remembered what they told me.
Mm-hmm.
I YouTubed a few things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really got into the script and I really thought of who this person, I'm playing Marsha, by the way,
mm-hmm.
who Marsha was. You know, why was she, you know, the group leader? Why was she so sympathetic towards other people's stories
yeah.
and journeys? You know, and then
right.
I tried to find people in my life that I could match with that.
Right.
And
then you had a lot of energy. You know, you had a lot of force behind you because you really had nothing to go back to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you had
exactly.
the car.
It was all
So it was like you just gave it up,
yeah,
you know?
It was
so
all
So that's awesome right
yeah.
there. And are there any, like, any personal demons or anything, challenges that you still find right now just kind of going and pursuing this career?
That is a good question. Yeah. I'm trying to get deep.
Huh? I mean, you know how it is.
I think that we all have insecurities.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think that I think I'm pretty dope when it comes to mastering or sharpening my strength.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't let the insecurities get to me. I'm 6 foot, 12,000 feet tall. And that's always been, you know, a thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not 5'7". I'm not the average height,
mm-hmm.
you know. I have hands the size of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, we're gonna have to compare later.
I got you. But at the end of the day, I have a passion in my heart that God placed there.
Mm, yeah.
And I am who I am because God created me, contrary to whatever anyone thinks.
Right.
So when I step into a room, I just remember that. You know, that he saw me through homelessness, living in my car. First of all, my mother, again, is a Black queen.
Mm-hmm.
I've never wanted for anything my whole life. You know, I didn't even know we were poor until I was grown.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that's what an extension for the light bill is, huh? That's what's the pink for? The pink, you know, bill.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know we were broke until I was an adult.
Mm.
You know, she always kept me covered. She always kept me fed. And so for me to be in that situation, you know, it was a lot.
Right.
And all I had to depend on was God,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
exactly.
when I step into a room, that's who I go to. I'm like, okay, God, you know,
nice.
I'm here for a reason. Let's do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
How's your relationship with your family after the transition?
That's a good question, too. So,
I'm full of them today.
My immediate family, they're all Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
So my grandparents, my uncle, my aunt, the people that raised me. So for that reason, they stand by that reason. It's not that great.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I still have great love and admiration for them. My mother, of course, like I said, is great. My brother is phenomenal. He's a big supporter of mine. I love him dearly. My sister as well. And then the rest of my family, my grandmother's brothers and sisters and cousins, they're all pretty supportive.
Okay.
But, yeah.
That's good. That's good
yeah.
to have support.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk about Stealth as well. So
mm-hmm.
Tell us about your character on that film.
Jezebel.
Yeah.
So funny thing, when I was a kid, there's a thing in the Jehovah's Witness religion called the Book of Bible Stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much a book of Bible stories geared to children.
Yeah.
And there's a story in there called about Jezebel. the evil queen, mm-hmm. and, you know, she got eaten by the dogs and all that stuff, and she was all glamorous, and she had every man she wanted.
Yeah.
And so I loved that story for whatever reason. I don't know. As a kid, I loved it. And when I got this audition, I was like, wow, this is full circle. Because this is the one story that I really remember out of the Bible.
Mm.
And I went in and I auditioned for Astor Stark, who is a fabulous director. Mm. And she said, yeah, she offered me the position or the role that day when I was still in the auditioning room, basically.
Wow.
She's a hooker.
There you go.
But she's the mother hooker.
Mother hooker.
She's the mother hooker, and she looks out for her people. But it's a beautiful love story,
okay.
about a transgender woman who finds love, and we're kind of left in that balance of does he accept it or not, you know, and I play that supporting thing that kind of gives her the courage to say, be who you are.
Mm.
You know, if he likes you, he's going to like you, period.
Right. And that role is pretty, that's roles like pretty close to your heart then, pretty much.
Definitely.
Right?
I mean,
it's just like playing yourself.
Yeah.
Almost. Without the whole part, I guess.
Well, it depends on the day now, Danny. Don't get too cute on here.
Right.
It depends on the day. No. But no, yeah, it was very close to my heart because it's such a beautiful love story.
Yeah,
and it's something
sure.
that we don't see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to play that role and to be, I wasn't as conniving or as evil as a lot of people stereotype, you know, that people in that profession to be.
Right.
But I was very nurturing. And so that's what I loved about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
What was, like, one of your favorite moments working with Gabrielle Union? Was there anything she told you? Any gems, any secrets or tips that she gave?
Well, so at the end of rap, when we wrapped the show, I was going to my car. Everyone's in the trailers, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I want to meet her. So I asked one of the staff members there, and they're like, oh, we think she's going to be going home soon, so never mind. He was playing me.
Right, of course.
And so, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I stood there, and all of a sudden, she comes around the corner, and she's, like, making a beeline. And I'm just like, oh, my God, it's Gabrielle Union. What is this guy? Like, what is this? And he's standing behind her laughing. And again, she hugged me so tight. And she just said, I'm so proud of you guys for, you know, sticking to what you want to do and being who you are.
Wow.
You know, you killed it. That, to me, was the gem that she gave me.
Right.
Gabrielle Union told me I killed a role,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
So that was the vision.
What more could you, you know, want
exactly.
on the, after that,
like,
you know?
I'm done. I can go home now. Thank you.
Back to Texas now.
Right.
Now, right. I want to get into Star.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge fan of Star and Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Leah Daniels Butler on earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And, yes, she's incredible.
Incredible.
So tell us about that whole process of how you got casted in the audition. And then I want to talk about your character, Dior.
Okay. I was doing some audience work because here in LA you have to do something, and I had booked that whole day, right? So I had an early morning show that I was doing audience work for, and then I had an evening show. So it led me until like 11 p.m. at night. So with that, you can't take your phone.
Right.
You have to kind of detach from society and the world as you know it. Right. Turn your phone off. Leave it in the car. So I did that, and when I came out. I mean, I had all these text messages and, like, voicemails from my agent. And she's like, no, call me. Like, call me right now. So I called her, and she's like, so we have this audition. You've been asked to audition for this role on Star. I had auditioned for Star 3 times prior.
Mm.
Well, this was my 3rd time.
Okay.
However, I had sent tapes in because I was in D.C. at that time. And so I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, God. What if I don't? I'm not gonna. I don't want to do this again.
Yeah.
You know, I've already. I love the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's my dream to be on it. But if I get no again, you got to keep me strong, right? You
got to.
What should I do?
Right.
So I went home that night about 12. Well, I went to my parking space about 12, and I looked at the breakdown, and it said a woman who is you know in that lifestyle of prostituting.
Mm-hmm.
A trans woman who is, you know, being saved. And I was like, oh, okay. She's being, so she's not going to be like,
right,
a hugger, hugger. She's going to get saved.
She's going to get saved.
Not saved in the religion, right, you know, the, but, you know. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do it. So I studied. I mean, I pulled out every book. I did my work. I had a notebook that was halfway full of just notes and choices that I was going to make.
Nice.
So that next day, I had to go to Leah Daniels' office and audition for her. I'm in the waiting room, and surprisingly, I wasn't nervous.
You're prepared.
I wasn't nervous, and I was so tripped out about that because I'm like, something's wrong. I don't have any butterflies. Like, I'm not nervous. But until they opened the door and they said, Ashton, and I said, oh, God, I got to go to the bathroom. Wait a minute. So I walk in, and there's like, Leah Daniels sitting there, Leah Daniels' butler sitting there. And in all of her glory. And she's like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm grateful. And she looked and I was like, you know, this is it. This is what we're going to do. God, guide me.
Right.
You know? So I'm starting the audition and, you know, she's looking. She's so sweet. She's looking at me and everything. And I'm reading with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If there's no more pressure, like I'm reading,
right,
with,
reading
her.
With her. Yeah.
And so I start reading and I'm looking down as I start. But then I look up. Every word I had just went away. I don't know what happened. I was prepared for this audition.
Right.
Okay. I don't know what happened, but I couldn't. I was like,
man,
the whole time.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking back at it, and I think it was because, you know, I was just in awe of the fact that I was in that room.
Right. Right.
But anyway, she was like, let's start that over. Cut the tape. Start that over. Let's do it again. And I said, okay. Did it again.
Yeah, okay.
And I got through it.
Yeah, okay.
It was great.
Okay.
She gave me a really good comment that I'm not going to share.
But
she gave me a really good comment that I heard. She told her assistant. And
okay.
Then I took my wig off for the second set of sides.
Okay.
And Dior had been kind of battered and beaten a little bit. And I took my wig off. Okay, that's a part.
That
I took my wig off.
That's a step
in front of
itself.
Leah Daniels' butler.
Right.
And I had these really like 2-week-old cornrows under, and so it was raggedy. It was a mess. And I sit down and I get really, you know, I get emotional, and I do the scene. And afterwards, she's like, "Thank you so much for coming." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Okay." And then I asked her, "I said, can you help me put my wig on?"
For real, you asked.
Help me put my wig back on. And she helped me put my wig back on. She tucked my hair and everything. And I left out and I threw the sides away because I always throw the sides away and just leave it there.
Yeah.
Got in my car and I just was like, oh, okay. And then 2 days later, I got a call.
So did she instruct you to remove your wig or you did
no.
that? Some, okay, that was,
that was one of the
felt.
Choices that I made because
gotcha.
I felt like
right.
I wanted her to see me be Dior.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like at that point Dior had gotten in the sides. Dior had gotten to a part, you know, point where beauty wasn't
right.
a thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was
gotcha.
Just it was her.
That's,
so, yeah.
that's an amazing choice.
Yeah.
Did so you mentioned that you throw your sides out after the audition. I want to touch on that too because that's I haven't heard you know many actors do that.
Yeah.
So what's your purpose for doing that?
I'm a worrier. I'm a mother's child.
Mm.
And so with me, one of the ways that I find I don't worry is if I just leave something where it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah.
if there's a conversation or an interaction that's not great or, you know, if there's anything that I just don't want to carry with me and
gotcha.
Stress about,
right.
I just leave where it is. And so with the sides, you know, I just throw them away and leave it there and I let God do his job.
Mm. That's
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So then after you booked it, after you booked this incredible role
mm-hmm.
and you got that call, first day on set, walk us through it.
Well, first of all, you know, I'm living in my car.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting picked up by a car service. I'm getting taken to the airport flying first class.
Uh-huh.
Hadn't eaten that day because I couldn't afford it, but they feed you in first class.
Right.
I land.
Won't he do it?
Come on, hallelujah.
Right.
I get to a really nice hotel.
Yeah.
I'm living in my car. A really nice hotel.
Yeah.
Really, really nice. And the next day they come, they take me to set, and I'm on set. I'm in the makeup trailer, and, you know, there's Brandy, who I've watched my whole life. There's Amaya, who I love so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm living in my car. Like, this doesn't happen. Right. Like, why is this happening, right, you know? Yeah. But it was wonderful. They all, like, embraced me. I remember Brandy touched me on my shoulder. I won't forget it. You know, she didn't know me yet, so she didn't hug me. She hugs me now.
Yeah, yeah.
But at that time, she just, you know, she touched me on my shoulder, and she's like, hi. You know, like, I never watched the show again.
Moesha, I mean,
you know what I mean?
Childhood, you just
Cinderella.
Came, right, you came back, huh?
Like all of the Brandy albums.
Full circle.
Like what? It's
crazy, yeah.
On set, you know, the first day we went, and I shout out to Amaya Scott, because for her to have been her for so long, she's been a beauty icon since mm-hmm. forever,
right.
You know, in my eyes, mm-hmm. right? And so she's so genuine and so sweet, sure. You know, and she'd reach out to me. She said, are you okay? How are you? You know, every so often she would mm-hmm. say that to me, and I'm like, I'm good. I'm inside. I'm a wreck because yeah. I'm nervous. I'm like, yeah. I'm on set. I'm living in my car.
Right.
And I'm on set of Star.
Nice.
I watch this show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We do it. I think the first episode I did was directed by Joe Leonard.
Yeah.
And it was great. He gave me great feedback. It was freezing cold in Atlanta that day. We worked with a lot of other great women and trans women at that. You know, just to have that opportunity was amazing. But it was great. It was awesome. The cast, the crew, everybody was awesome to me that first time.
What was your favorite moment on set?
My favorite moment overall or that first time?
Let's say overall.
Overall? I can't because it'll spoil.
Oh, it'll spoil?
It'll spoil.
Really?
But there's something coming up that was very fun.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted a stunt double for it. And I told them, no, I want to do it myself.
There you go.
And, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll stay tuned. We'll stay tuned. Yeah. And so you also had another episode where Tasha Smith directed.
Yes, that's the episode coming up.
How was that being directed by Tasha
Smith? Amazing. So funny story, uh-huh. right? Again, God is amazing.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm here, and y'all already know my living situation.
living in a car one
living
more time.
In my car. Living in my car. Just want to let you know. So someone told me about this school
mm-hmm.
that's, like, you know, pretty cool, and, you know, it's local, and a lot of people go there, and it's black,
mm-hmm.
and Tasha Smith owns it. I was like, okay, cool. So I went online, and I signed up for the audit to go in and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a master class. I didn't think Tasha Smith would be there, but she was there. And it was just amazing watching her in all of her glory.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
For
the
sure.
amazing Tyra Farrell was there as well.
Yeah.
Mother from Boys in the
Hood.
Boys in the
Hood, yeah.
Everything back
Bacon.
In the day. What, Poetic Justice, she was in that as well.
You can't talk about black
you can't
film
talk about it.
Talking about her.
Legend.
Like, yeah.
They're in the room.
Right.
They're there. And I'm like, oh, God. So afterwards, I'm standing outside talking to another, you know, actor, and we're talking, and Tasha comes out, and I'm like, Tasha. And so she comes, she's like, what, girl, you're not ready to go home? And I said, I know. And she embraces me. Like, she hugs me. And she keeps her arms on me. And I'm telling her, I'm like, so, as a trans actor, if I came and took a class in your class, do I have space? Am I, you know, welcome to come?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what made me ask her that. I think I was still very insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted some type of validation.
Right.
She looked me in my eyes and she said, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a movie about this. Yes. Come. Mm-hmm. Sign up. And I said, okay. And she walked away.
Nice.
Come back to Star.
Yeah.
I get onto the third episode, and I walk in, and it's Tasha Smith as the director. I mean, I knew she was going to be the director because you get, you know, the call sheet, and it has all that on it.
Yeah.
But she looked at me. She's like, I know you from somewhere. I was like, yeah, you remember it? And I told her, and she's like, oh, my God. How amazing is that? You know, and
yeah.
she told me I was good, and, you know, I deserve to be there. I mean, it was one of those mind-blowing things.
That's amazing.
Where it's like, really, God?
Right.
I get it. And I couldn't go to, I never went to the class because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Not saying it's expensive or anything like that, but I was living in my car.
Exactly. Okay. At that point in your life, right.
I was living in the car. And so, yeah, I didn't get to go, but I got to be directed by her.
Wow.
So.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And so, because the episode just aired recently.
Not yet.
One of your episodes, right?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, yes, one of yes. Two of them. Yeah. Have, two of them, yes.
Yeah. So how was it afterwards? What are people saying? Did you get any like comments or any people in your DM hitting them up? Like
a little bit. No, yeah. it has How'd it been feel? Surreal.
Yeah,
it's been surreal because, you know, to see yourself on television. I think my family was more excited than I was. Mm. You know, I was so solemn and just like looking at my performance, right. And they're like, "Oh my God, you're on television!" I'm like, "It's not that big of a deal, but it's a huge deal." It's amazing. I don't even know what other word to use other than it's amazing. I was in the grocery store back at home in Texas, and this little old black guy is walking back and forth. He walks by me like four times. He's like, "Where do I know you from?" Mm. And in Texas, that's not out of the normal because we all know, we all cousins, we all go to the same church, we all know somebody, right? And I told him, I said, "I don't know. Where do you know me from?" And he's looking. He's like, "You on that Empire?" Mm. And I said, "No."
It is playing with
him. "I'm not on Empire." And then I whispered to him, I said, "I'm on Star." And he was like, "My wife watches that all the time. And blah, 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 blah. You look different." You know, because on the show, I'm kind of, you know, I'm not as. And I was like, "Thank you." Yeah. And so he took a picture. But it's been really surreal.
Mm-hmm.
Really surreal, but also inspiring.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to go harder.
Oh, for sure.
And you can't tell me that God isn't real today.
No.
You can't tell. Definitely. Like, before you probably could, and I'd be like, okay. But now, God is so real to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So Dior is going to be a staple on Star, or what? We're going to see
we
more.
We gotta stay tuned.
There we go.
I don't know.
Okay, get a little bit.
You ain't about to
give me some bread, I know, right?
You ain't about to put me back in my car. No, sir.
Put
no.
you back in your car. Yeah. No, that's incredible, though. Yeah. You know, life afterwards, I'm sure, is amazing. You got some projects that you're working on back mm-hmm, here in LA mm-hmm. that you're coming back for, right?
Yeah. So when I was here, prior to Star and everything else, I did a play called mm-hmm. Modern Romance. It's about, it's really all inclusive. Mm-hmm. So every nationality, sexuality is all represented. And basically, it's about, you know, dating in the new age of Tinder and mm-hmm. everything else online. Very funny.
Yeah.
We played over at the Broadwater.
Okay.
And got a good reception.
Nice.
That was turned over and developed into now a web series. Yeah. I got recast for my role.
Mm-hmm.
And we start shooting that the day after tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So,
nice.
Yeah, so that's going to be pretty cool.
Nice.
We're looking for investors for that. So if you want to invest in some stuff. But, no, it's really good. Megan Magner is the creator and developer of that. It's really, really funny. You got to check it out.
Okay, yeah. Definitely.
Got to check it out.
I definitely will. Shoot me the info.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
So I just want to take a time to thank you again for joining
thank
me.
Thank you.
And coming out here and being on the show. And also thank you, everyone, for watching, tuning in, all my people out there, and Black Hollywood Live, AfterBuzz TV, thank you so much for allowing us to be here and doing this awesome show, bringing you all this great content. I want to play a little game. It's called Finish the Quote.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Now, what kind of quotes are these? Are these like college quotes? Or are these
You'll see.
Okay.
All right. No, these are quotes from some of the most iconic black films out there. Okay.
Ooh.
So I want to see how your knowledge is.
I already won.
We got five quotes, okay?
Go ahead.
So we're going to see how good you are.
Okay.
All right. Make that money, girl.
Say it one more time.
Make that money, girl.
Hustle and flow.
No, you got to finish the quote.
Oh, make that money, girl. Don't let it make you.
Hey, there you go. Players Club.
Got it. Yes. Okay, I'm sorry.
Next one. Yeah. King Kong.
Ain't got nothing on me.
Yes. There you go. Training Day. I like it. Two for two. All right. It's Friday.
Wait. You ain't got nothing to do. It's your day off or something like that. I know where it's from.
You're right. You know where it's from.
Can I can't finish the quote. It's Friday. You ain't got shit to do.
You ain't got no job.
See, I got it right.
Yeah, you got it. We'll give it to
her. They said I got it right.
We'll give it to her. You ain't got no job. You ain't got shit to do.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right. Next one. I loves Harpo. God knows I do.
But I kill him dead before I let him beat me.
Yay.
Yes.
Color Purple. All right. Last but not least, you are the perfect verse. This one's a little harder.
You are the perfect verse. in a prenuptial agreement.
Close.
No?
But not.
What is it?
You are the perfect verse over a tight beat, Brown Sugar.
Oh, dang.
So you gave you 4 out of 5. That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's really good.
Okay, I love that movie. I'm mad I didn't get that, but yeah.
Yeah, that was a little harder one. So what's one of your favorite words?
Love. That's my favorite. Love.
That's such a good one. That's the first time I've heard that on this show.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lee, what's your least favorite word?
Anything that is derogative or degrading of a community.
Okay.
Yeah, anything at all. Because I believe that we are all a part of the same community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We have a lot of divisiveness.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, we're all the same. And I think that when we get that, the world would be such a better place.
When we get that.
When we get that. You know what I mean? If you're my brother.
It's been a while.
I'm your sister. I might be trans.
Right.
But, you know, we're all in this together.
Exactly.
I don't want to see you perish. You don't want to see me perish.
Right.
I hope not. You know,
right.
I don't want to see you fail.
Right.
You know, I regard you as a king.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that once we get those, especially within our community as
yes.
trans people, you know, heterosexual black men
mm-hmm.
aren't that welcoming.
No.
You know, and Black Lives Matter, but what about the Black trans life?
Yeah, what about, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're all a part of the community.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Definitely agree. Okay.
Yeah.
One actor you would love to work with.
Felicia Rashad.
Man.
Felicia
she's
Rashad.
Amazing.
The day that I can, I'm putting
man.
It out in the universe, the day that I can work on set with, I don't care if I don't even have a line.
Right.
Just to be on set with her.
Man, you've seen her on This Is Us.
I've seen,
watch
yes.
Yeah,
I've seen her.
Amazing.
Like, she's amazing. There's
Everything
a movie called The Old Settler. It's on YouTube.
Old Settler.
It's a movie that her and her sister did.
Okay.
Amazing.
Old Settler.
Old Settler.
Y'all
it's amazing.
Y'all got to check it out.
Yes.
What's a noise that you love?
Oh, I can't. My mama's watching this. But that's it. Intimacy.
Okay.
Intimacy.
All right.
And Whitney Houston. Intimacy and Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston.
Her voice.
And Wild Intimacy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Well, yeah.
She's made a couple
She's
songs.
She's made a couple.
You know.
You
yeah.
can't hear.
What's the noise that you hate?
Booze.
Booze.
I don't like booze.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Booze. Okay.
I don't like that.
What other profession would you be in if you're not in your own right now?
A hairstylist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a beauty school dropout twice.
Okay.
My mom was a hairstylist. My uncle was a barber growing up. So that was what I thought I was going to be.
Right.
And
so
then, yeah.
Who knows? You might have a job at Carlotta's one. We'll see.
I mean.
We'll see.
You said you've spoken into
the universe.
Put
it in the universe,
that's
right? Dior might have a new job.
Hey.
All right. Last but not least. Heaven exists, and you saw God for the first time. What do you want him to say to you?
You showed them who I created you to be.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Man, you all with all the good ones today. I can't do it no more. No. And I just want to finish because this is a really, you know, special moment because of the diversity here. And I want you to just finish one thing, just one quote or whatever you want to say to those out there, transgender, whatever have you, LGBTQ community,
mm-hmm.
In this industry and find it hard to just step out and be themselves. What do you have to say to them?
First of all, don't be afraid to be by yourself. Being transgender, it isolates you.
Mm-hmm.
You find loneliness becomes your best friend. To me, that was the best time of my life because I got to know me.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
And when I got to know me, there's nothing that you can tell me about me that I'm going to believe because I know me already.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to be by yourself. If you get into this industry of acting, realize that you have to become a character. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We've done that our whole lives.
Mm.
It's not a stretch. Just do it. You know, take the classes, study. And just be great. You know, don't care about the public opinion. Don't care about the glamour. Don't care about being pretty. Because it's not going to be pretty. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be times you got to go in the casting room and take your wig off. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's got to be times where you have to go in there and just be completely authentic.
Yeah.
And if you haven't spent time by yourself, you don't even know what that is.
Mm.
So just spend time by yourself, you know, and be grateful at all times. Come from a level of love whenever you do anything. And don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't love you. And whatever you have on your heart, he placed there.
Mm.
So you got it.
Nice. Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure for having you.
Thank you.
Go ahead and tell everyone where to find you, social media and all that good stuff.
I'm on Instagram at Ashton B. Grooms, Facebook, Ashton Grooms.
Yeah. And when is the next episode airing?
Wednesday
exactly.
At 8 on Fox.
8, oh, check it out, guys.
Yeah.
You'll see Ashton on Star again as Dior on Fox's Star this Wednesday. And, folks, you know where to find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. It's been a pleasure. I will see you next week. Same place, same time here inside the Black Actors Studio. Bye, guys.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.